This edition of Commodity Week was recorded Friday, May 9th, 2008. It is a production of WILL Public Radio from the University of Illinois.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
USDA has released its first look at the coming crop, and it says the wheat market should loosen up, but that corn and soybeans are riding on the cusp. We'll talk about it all today on Commodity Week. Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Tom Fritz of EFG in Chicago. Our panelists today are Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois, Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois, and Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's open our discussion today with this question. USDA predicts corn farmers will raise 153.9 bushel corn crop this year on the season for an average nationwide. Do you think this is the highest nationwide average we'll see for the crop year from the agency this year? Dan Zwicker.
If we only get 70 million corn planted, probably. but on a more serious note, I think a lot of people are going to be skeptical of that. And, of course, we all know that each growing season is different. And July rain and August rain has a lot to do with it and probably what kind of planting conditions we get here over the next couple of weeks. But I think at least just chattering around the trade here today, one would think that everybody kind of thinks that might be a little rich, especially given the last several years we've only been in that 150 seems to be capping it off, and we're getting off to kind of a rough start here. Maybe not so much here in central Illinois and Indiana, but we got a lot of problems in the western Corn Belt, northern Corn Belt.
Bill Mayer, 153.9, or any of the other numbers that you want to take up for the moment?
Well, I guess on the yield part of it, I would think that that's at least going to be the biggest number that we see until we get into the August report where we actually have a survey. I don't see that the USDA could have much of a reason to raise it higher than that. But I will say that the acres number, I guess I'm still confident that we can get those acres. When I look at the dollars per acre that are out there, I just think that we're going to see the farmer continue to plant corn. If it gets to be 25th, 26th of May, he's going to continue to plant. I don't see any reason that he's going to switch to beans at these kind of prices. Now, they can change, and they change about $8 an acre today.
And just to follow up, you mean 86 million, or are you talking about more acres than that?
Well, I think the 86 million, I'm confident that we'll get that planted.
And Wayne Nelson, 153.9 on a national average.
Well, I agree with both these guys, Todd. I think that there's two things to look at. Number one, we're seeing a few extra acres of corn go in, especially in the Indiana area and different places that I talked to that have been able to get in the field and go along because of the more profitability per acre. I think that we have to remember this good triple stack corn that they're giving a discount on insurance for planting isn't. They aren't given that discount on the insurance from the government because they think that it isn't going to do well and hang in there and do some stuff. So I'm not as quite as negative against the yield as some of these guys are. I think that we're maybe going to lose a few acres in Iowa and Minnesota as they get along the way, but I think we'll have made up those acres other places. So number one, I think the acreage will stay there or increase a little bit. And I also think that we could see a lower yield at some time if we have some weather problems. But if the weather would turn out and be decent – We could actually see that number go up a little bit later down the road.
You sell crop insurance. What are the numbers that we have to worry about in dates, I suppose, at this point? Do you know?
Well, I think, if we're planted in there by June 5th, I think we're in pretty good shape as far as that. And remember, it's still covered. It's just there's a after the late planting date where they take off some of your yield for some part of your guarantee. There's also preventive planting, which they will probably be looking at for some of the corn in Minnesota and northwest Iowa.
May corn this week in Chicago, a high of $6.27, a low at $6.13. Settlement price there at $6.18.5, up 16.5 from last week. December corn futures at $6.50, up 20.5. New contract highs, Dan Zwicker, this week in the corn market. How do you read the charts?
I think today's close could have been a lot stronger to kind of finish out the week. But it looks to me, at least the way I'm reading the December corn futures chart, that we're breaking out to the upside of a broadening wedge formation, and that kind of signals that there's an upside target or upside potential somewhere up in that 690 level. But one still has to realize that we're going to have to see how the fundamentals unfold here over the next couple of weeks. But I think technically the corn market is showing continued strength and a desire to go on higher.
And then as we take a look at some of the rest of the numbers that came out, Bill Mayer from USDA, a corn carryout figure for this season at 1383. That's a 1.383 billion carryout. But when we get to next season, they drop it dramatically down to 763 million bushels. Can you agree with that number?
Well, I can understand where their reasoning was to come up with those numbers. Are we really there? I kind of doubt it. We talked about the yield already. I guess I think that the 86 million, they have to use that at this time because of the March planting intentions. And as I said, I'm pretty confident on that. Will we get cut back as much as they had there on usage? I think that they're kind of telling us that we will, that we need to get price levels to the point where we will do that. We're kind of looking at some minimal carryout levels there. So I think that's really where the market is right now, is where do we have to take this to get that kind of a reduction in demand.
And if we do manage to get down to that low level, by the time we get to next fall of 2009, Dan, what kind of pressure to the upside might be on the marketplace?
Well, you got to realize that these numbers are based upon, September 1. Now, this year we're not going to have a lot of corn before September 1, but maybe the next year we could have a lot of corn, because the market is definitely going to want to try to buy acres of corn next fall and next winter. So we could end up with a much larger corn plantings next year. And then, since we're getting off to a late start this year, we'll maybe have a more earlier type spring, and we'll have a lot of corn supplies available, maybe during the month of August. But, one looks at that balance sheet. You look at the cutback that has to take place in feed usage. You look at the yield potential, what USDA has plugged in, and one would have to at least initially look at that there's really nothing bearish in that balance sheet. If anything, everything's bullish to the point, and probably one has to wonder why the market wasn't really limit up here today.
Hey, Wayne, as you look at the numbers that came out from USDA, they say the season's average cash price will range from $5 to $6. Of course, we had a cash price on the air Friday of $5.90, and certainly December corn trading at $6.50 at the end of the week. Are they too low?
Well, from everything that we've discussed here and all the different demand sectors we're talking about, Todd, yes, they are. And I say that, but what we're looking at there, that is the cash price at the average farm that
Correct.
Goes through the harvest time and like that. And what we've looked here and we're seeing is a very widening cash basis through different times. But you think of December or fall delivery as being the cheapest time of the year with no storage charges, no return to putting the stuff away. And with where we're looking here, we're looking in the 575 bracket for fall already, even at the wider basis levels at different places. So I think that we are a little bit too low on that number. We probably need to raise that 50 cents.
Is there anything that farmers should be doing now about marketing this crop, or do they just wait it out?
Well, I think they should be involved in marketing, yeah. And I with the cost of the inputs and the amount of risk that you have to put this crop in, you have to do some things to make sure that you're covered. And we've talked about this before on the air as far as there's nothing wrong with selling corn at these levels in conservative amounts and locking in some coverage with some put options underneath the market. You're locking in floors that are well below the cash price, but you're keeping yourself from getting surprised in case something does come along that surprises the market down the road.
Todd, one thing just to throw in right quick. I think that we've had a lot of discussions this week. Those extra acres that I keep talking about going in, the extra 200, 300, 150 acres for each of the farmers, we're talking about being there switching those over, and they're switching over because the price level is here. We're talking about that they do need to price those extra acres they're putting out that they weren't planning on or weren't figured into their schedule before.
Dan?
I never discourage a farmer from selling some grain because usually if they're interested in selling grain, they're doing that for a reason. And naturally, these prices are very attractive. But my guess is that most farmers are probably sold as far up as they're going to be sold, at least until they get a little more comfortable with their production. And a lot of these sales were done at lower levels. But I do think farmers always need to be watchful for pricing opportunities, especially, you know, when we're starting to talk about 6-plus type cash corn maybe coming at us sooner than what we thought it was going to come at us, that is probably a place to lay off a sale anyway.
Wheat futures in Chicago this week, a May high of 793, a low at 780. Settlement price for that contract at 791.5. The May futures down 4.5 cents from last week. July at 804.5, down 4.5. USDA says pretty good sized crop coming in, up 17% in the United States, and we're headed for the harvest season. Will we go lower despite the fact that we'll probably take corn and soybeans higher?
Boy, I think that's going to be hard for the wheat to do, but it's kind of run its course here. We do have a pretty good crop coming on. We've got some very wide basis levels, at least in the soft wheat country. I think we could probably drift lower to, you know, sideways to lower as we go into harvest, but I think it's going to be awful volatile, too. I wouldn't be surprised to see days where you're up 40, 50 cents.
Todd, one thing, I hope the CFTC is keeping an eye on this. They said after, you know, not a lot of problems with a lot of things, but if we don't see cash convergence and these basis levels stay out at this $2 plus on this wheat, when is the CFTC going to fix this and give us some more delivery points?
Better take a look at the soy complex for the day as well. May beans, a 13.53 and a quarter high, low at 13.01. And a settlement price for the May beans at 13.49.5, up 57.5 cents from last week. November's at 13.03.75, up 85.25. Some of the important numbers that they came out with, USDA, of course, using the March intentions report for the million acres at 74.8 planted. Yield at 42.1. Beginning stocks at 145. That would be for the end of this fall. Production a 3.1 billion bushel crop at this point. And the ending stocks, a mere 185 million left, with a $10.50 to $12 season's average cash price. What were the most important numbers, Dan?
Well, the one that got the trade by surprise was the bottom line number when USDA came in and showed us ending stocks a year from now at somewhere around 185. Everybody was looking at something, you know, in the 270 to 300 mark. So that is what I think everybody pivoted on right away here prior to the open. USDA kept the demand numbers pretty stable. You know, we kind of knew that the acres were going to, you know, USDA was going to be confined to the March acreage numbers and the yield variation. You can kind of change that, maybe a bushel either way. But I think the trade was looking for some downside movement in demand, and USDA basically kept things stable.
That was 185 for next year when we get to the fall of 09, but when we get to the fall this year, they're at 145. Is that tight enough?
We don't want to go a lot tighter than that. It's tight enough. And we've got it reflected somewhat in the prices here, too. I'll just go back to the old 09 projection. I mean, if you looked at the pre-trade or pre-report guesses, there was about 200 million difference in, you know, from low to high. So somebody was going to get surprised, I guess.
Well, Todd, I think that they might be making up for what they're really saying. We're having more left this year and we really don't, and they're taking it off next year's ending stocks. I think that we could actually be tighter than what we're looking at in this 145. Argentina stays on strike. If things get disrupted, customers are going to come back to the U.S., and we're going to ship even more old beans.
Let me play the devil's advocate a little bit. If you look at the global stocks, stocks to use from that aspect, it's about the fifth tightest ever. So, I mean, we've had four other years that we've been tighter than this from a days of use or a stocks to use standpoint. So from a global standpoint, we're not down there in that tightness like we are in the U.S.
When we come back, we'll talk with Tom Fritz of EFG in Chicago. Here are some of the rest of the numbers as they settled. Live cattle futures, June at 94.52.5, 240 higher on the week. The May feeders at 107.35, up $1.70. And May lean hog settled at $80.22.5, up $6.82.5.
I'm Jim Angel, state climatologist, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. Rainy weather continued off and on over last weekend and into this week, especially with heavy rains on Wednesday in southern Illinois and all across the state on Thursday. Amounts of around an inch were reported in northern and central Illinois, while southern Illinois received 2 to 3 inches. After a wet winter and wet spring, the additional rainfall has been a problem. Except for east central Illinois, much of the rest of the state has had above normal soil moisture. In addition, there has been much flooding on the Illinois and Mississippi rivers and their tributaries. As a result, many fields in those floodplains are still underwater. Soil temperatures at the 4-inch level are ranged from the upper 50s in northern Illinois to the low 60s in central and southern Illinois. Temperatures over the last week varied widely from day to day, which is typical for this time of year. Early in this week, some places experienced lows in the 30s, while on Tuesday, highs in the 80s, low 80s were common. Overall, temperatures were about 1 degree above normal for the week. The National Weather Service forecast calls for cooler than normal temperatures with near normal precipitation for the next 2 weeks. For Champaign-Urbana, we can expect highs in the 60s and lows in the 40s over the next week. Normally, we would get highs in the 70s and lows in the 50s by now. There is a chance of rain on Sunday, and another low-pressure system is expected to move through by the midweek, bringing the next chance of rain. For the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign, I'm Jim Angel.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Commodity Week is a production of WILL, public radio for the farming world from the Land-Grant University, Illinois. This edition was recorded Friday, May the 9th, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists today are Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, and Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. Our guest is Tom Fritz. He's a senior managing partner of EFE Group. Tom Fritz provides both short and long-term worldwide grain and oilseed analysis for customers, both retail and commercial. Thanks, Tom, for joining us today.
Good afternoon.
Tell me, did USDA make the usage and crop production figures for corn fit a pipeline 08-09 ending stocks figure of 763 million bushels?
It was not a surprise. You know, everybody in the trade expected it. They really couldn't deviate away from the March acreage numbers. They couldn't deviate away from the demand numbers that they laid out at the end of February at their annual outlook meeting. So I didn't see it was much of a surprise.
Tom, if you're out here and you're with the farming group, where would you tell them the next point they should sell fall corn at?
Well, my next target that I'm looking at in December corn is up around the 680, 685 level.
Tom, how much, getting away from the supply and demand a little bit, how much did the fact that crude oil got over 125 this week, how much did that have to do with the corn prices moving higher as well?
It had some to do with it. You know, we walk in every morning, we look at outside markets, okay, what's crude oil doing? And if you notice, most of this week, July tried to gain on December. And I think that's your trading funds, you know, looking at outside markets and then coming into the corn market and say, okay, we can buy. So it had some to do with it. And I've been with the frame of mind that as crude oil goes higher, it takes a lot of heat off the ethanol furor that we've been listening to lately. You know, people are saying, okay, you know, corn for food, corn for fuel. You know, we can't have both. But as long as crude oil continues to go up, you know, we're going to try to grind corn for ethanol.
Tom, one thing that I've kind of noticed on both the corn and soybean charts when I look at them is, especially on soybeans, is the open interest has just been in a steady decline for some time. Corn has been in kind of a downtrend. I think maybe lately here it's kind of leveled out a little bit. Maybe even the beans have leveled out a little bit. How are you reading that?
There's a couple of ways that I've been looking at it. Number one, you know, if you recall a couple of weeks ago, there was talk about the commodity boom, you know, has gone bust. I think some of our hedge fund participants have gotten a little bit leery of these price levels. And in the case of beans proportionally have seen the biggest decrease in open interest. And I think a lot of that is, well, number one, this is the time of year Brazil comes on. Steals our thunder in the export market. We're seeing it right now. Also, you know, people were saying biodiesel is an extra added attraction for soybeans. Biodiesel is a bust as far as I'm concerned. You look at corn, it's been open interest there. It's been easing off a little bit. Once again, it's the hedge funds a little bit leery that we might have some political intervention with our recent ethanol mandates, but if you go back and look at the last few days, I want to say over the last 3 days, we've tacked on 35,000 to the open interest of corn. So, you know, earlier in the show, you guys talked about why didn't corn respond in a more favorable manner to our numbers that we saw this morning. Tell me, who is not long corn right now? To me, it's everybody's favorite. And, you know, you've got a little bit of an imbalance right there. Everybody's long. You know, who are we going to add to it? You look at the funds open interest there, it's knocking at the door 400,000 contracts again. So I think that's that might be a little bit of a short-term wait around the corn market's neck.
When you say short-term, how short-term and what kind of downward pressure do you see?
Well, it's my idea that, yes, we're going to get this corn crop planted. Are we going to get additional acres? I'm not sure about that. But, you know, looking at the price, the profitability, we feel the American producer, you know, he's going to plant corn longer than he normally does just because the profitability is there. So I think once the trade in Chicago gets the idea, okay, we're going to get our corn crop planted, you're going to see some sort of liquidation wave come in here. And after that, you know, we're going to clean out, you know, the recent bulge buyers, and then, you know, then we're going to look at growing conditions again. So, you know, I'm with the idea that, you know, I gave you a target of roughly 680 in Dease corn. I think that could happen in relatively short order. And if Mother Nature gives us a break, we're going to get this corn crop planted, and, you know, people are going to look around. Okay, we traded not getting the crop planted. It's planted. What do we do for an encore? And that's when I see a liquidation wave coming into the corn market.
Tell me about the soy complex. In recent years, beans have priced higher going through the fall, I suppose, to try to attract acres out of South America. Will that happen again?
Oh, I think it has to happen again. You know, last year, Brazil expanded their acreage minimally. And that's one reason why our carryout's sitting at $145 million for the old crop. I do feel next year that we're going to see a bigger acreage increase to soybeans down in Brazil.
Tom, what do you think about the July no bean spread and how it's going to react from here?
We need to get some business in here. You saw the other day we had weekly export sales from the previous week of 41,000 tons. I can't remember the last time I saw a number that low. Looking at basis levels for export right now, we're going to get another low number next week. So I'm with the idea, and I'll admit it, you know, I was a big fan of the July-November bean spread, and we're cleaning house in that right now. So we're going to have to get some new export business back in here for that spread to try to reassert itself.
Tell me about what you see in the way of livestock in this nation, and is it really contracting? Has it done so yet? And how much of an impact might that have if it does, or will it?
I think I think livestock is contracting. You know, we've heard some of the bigger firms on Wall Street announce they have to cut back. Their profitability is just flying out the window, so they're going to have to cut back. And we saw a little bit of that in the new crop corn feed demand. I was a little bit surprised that the crush for soybeans was still big, because I think that could get cut back as far as your meal numbers are concerned. Last couple of weeks, this meal market's been a real dog. And I'm always with the frame of mind, if the meal market can't perform, beans can't perform.
Tom, how are you reading the soybean market as far as giving farmers recommendations on how they should maybe approach their sales?
Wait for your summer scares. We in Chicago feel we kill the crop twice, at least twice a summer. And so based on that, I'm asking them to hold off on sales right now. We did some sales earlier this spring, and we haven't done any recently.
Is there still chatter in Chicago and worry about the margin calls for the larger organizations, for the ADMs, the Bungies, the Cargills of the world?
It's still there, but it's just not on the front page like it was a month and a half ago.
Will it come back?
I think, given if prices continue to move higher, oh, sure it will.
And how much of a problem is it, really?
Well, I think, the producer's going to feel the biggest problem because these guys are going to be reluctant to, do any forward contracting with them. So what does he do? Well, okay, he has to do his own hedging on the board, and we all know how he feels about margin calls.
Any final word from you for this day?
I try to stay flexible. The volatility in this marketplace is just unbelievable, and it's not going to go away anytime soon.
Tom, we appreciate you being with us. Tom Fritz is the Senior Managing Partner at EFG in Chicago, Illinois. And now a final word from our panelist in studio, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities.
Well, we're having a hard time getting this crop planted, as it seems right now. It hasn't been ideal conditions, but I agree with Tom. I think we're going to see this crop get in. It's going to be a little late, but we're really going to be watching the weather. And I am a little bit leery about the setback he was talking about in the corn.
Bill Mayer?
I agree with what Wayne said there and Tom. I think that there will be a time where we'll see the progress catch up. Make sure you have your ducks in a row. And look out there to the 09 crop if you don't feel comfortable making more 08 sales right now and get a little bit started there.
And Dan Zwicker.
I just basically, as far as marketing goes, stay pretty patient here and see how this corn planting wraps up here, if it can, in the next 10 days or so. There's a lot of serious problems out in the Corn Belt, and the market's going to have to react to them.
That wraps up this week's edition of Commodity Week. Something to keep in mind. You can access Commodity Week and other programs on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a safe week.